Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson from Genesis chapter 11. Oh, our Old Testament lesson, quite frankly, is one of the more interesting ones for me. I like Genesis, and in particular, I also like this particular passage here. It talks about how all the different languages came to be. Now, if you think about it, at the very beginning, there in Genesis, well, there'd be only one language, right? Because if you think about it, it all started there with God. God spoke. He spoke, and then things came into existence. The heavens there, the earth below, and then he started creating things here on the planet. So you've got all the fish of the sea there, the birds of the air, they all were created. God spoke again, and there it was. Same thing happened there with all the critters then starting to crawl around on the dry ground. And then God spoke, and there was man. God gave man the breath of life, and man lived and spoke. Think about that now. God gave man the gift of language. Now, how did they use it? Well, they migrated to the east of Eden and settled in a land. And we may think that that's probably modern-day Iraq is where they were. And so here they are. They decided they wanted to get together there and, build something. They got together and he said, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Well, the people decided to do something. They all wanted to get together there and build a city. And so it was going to be a modern one, right? So they're going to have, what, bricks. Going to make bricks. Going to make bricks and then build a wall. They're going to build a city there. And in the center there, they're going to be building this tower. No big deal. Kind of a cool thing. Up until they spoke the following. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Therein lies the problem. The foundation of their problem is the fact that the people were not doing what they should be doing. If you go to chapter 4 there in Genesis, well, after that nasty business with Cain and Abel and then Cain and his descendants, you get towards the end there of chapter 4, find that Adam and Eve had another son, Seth. And then we read, to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, the people began to call upon the name of the Lord. The important part of that verse there is the last half. The people began to call on the name of the Lord. And that was the problem here. In chapter 11, for a lesson for today, is that the people had ceased to call on the name of the Lord. Rather, they wanted to make themselves a name for themselves there. They wanted to be the center of attention. They wanted the praise. They wanted that name for themselves and have folks worship them because of the great deed that they have done. God was no longer the center of their attention. So God noticed this. So God came down, he wanted to investigate, see what was going on there with the people. Sure enough, that's what they wanted to do, was build this tower. Tower to reach up in the heavens so that everybody would sit there and see them. But he put a stop to it. And he did it in a most unusual and very effective way. God confounded their language as a punishment. Well, that means that the people no longer spoke in unity. Rather, it was disunity, because they could not understand one another's speech. So what did the people do? Well, the people who, when they would speak to one another, if you understood what you were hearing, well, then that was the group that you were going to be a part of. And so here they were. They were all one people, and now they weren't. So they all went their separate ways. Language, then, became the barrier that separated them from one another. Separation. That could almost be a synonym for the word sin. Sin separates us from God. Back in the day, the people made themselves to be the center of their world instead of God. They, in essence, made themselves out to be God. And that sin is just as applicable today as it was then, and the same for Jesus in his day. Consider how we, too, make ourselves the center of our world. If you were to write down all the activities that you do throughout the week, And who is the recipient of all that time? Now, if you were to do that, how would it work out? You have 168 hours in a week. How much of that time do you spend considering God? How much of that time do you spend serving Him? How much? Again, it's 168 hours in a week. Now, if it's just to come here and worship on Sunday, that for many people that's what it is, then that would be 0.6% of your time that you devote to the Lord. Sin causes that. It causes us to make ourselves the center of our world. You see, sin has a way of corrupting everything that we do. If left untreated, it would create permanent consequences, eternal separation from God. God was, God is, and God will always be a loving God. And He sent His Son Jesus into this world to undo the consequences of sin. He took the punishment of those sins on our behalf. He did it by dying on the cross for you and me. And we know that, and we thank God for that. But how did it come about that we should know this great and awesome work that God did through His Son Jesus? How is it that we can refocus our attention back on God? And that, too, is something that God must do. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. Jesus told His disciples, right before He ascended up into heaven, He's like, hey, I want you guys to stick around here, stay in Jerusalem, you know, and then you'll receive power from on high. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as the fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, so the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. What God did back to the people in Genesis was that He used language as a barrier, as a separation, one from another. Now, with the Holy Spirit, that's no longer the case. God was at work again, and the Holy Spirit came to the disciples so that they could speak in other people's languages, so that the good news of Jesus Christ could be dispersed throughout the world. Language was no longer a barrier. Instead, people are being unified yet again. And what is it this time? It's faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who creates that faith. And it turns out then that Jesus is the unifier of all. And what a cool thing that is. Consider, it doesn't mean that we now all have to learn one language in order to read the Bible. We cannot read that in our own language. It doesn't mean now that we have to give up our own culture just to adopt another culture so that we could be a part of one faith. Other religions teach that, but not so with Christianity. You see, God comes where you are and in the situation and culture in which you reside, and there the Holy Spirit works. And sharing of that word with one another, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so what does it look like? Well, we have people of different cultures come and hear the good news of Jesus. And that means that they come here to Trinity. It might mean that they come wearing different kind of clothes that you and I are not used to. It might be different from you and me. They might come and speak with an accent. Something different from you and me. How many of you think that I'm the one with the accent? Yeah, I know, it's still out there. But then again, it doesn't have to be a spoken language now either, does it? People are using their hands, as we have interpreters here in our late service, so that folks can understand the gospel in a language that they would know. See, the most important thing that unifies us as a people is what the Holy Spirit creates in us, faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what needs to be shared in as many languages as possible, so that all might have the opportunity to come to faith. And sometimes, people with different languages, well, they come to us, and they want to hear about Jesus in the language that you and I use. For you see, in God's kingdom, all nations, tribes, and languages are represented. And let that happen here. Think about it. In our neighborhood, how many different languages that you hear. Our Atlantic District is the most diversified district in all of Synod. It's amazing how many different languages that you can hear in any given day on any given street. Let that good news of Jesus Christ be spread here. Let that good news of Jesus Christ be spread to all. And let us take time then that the Holy Spirit gives to us, because that too is a gift, that we might indeed spend more than 0.6% of our time throughout the week, that we might serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has saved us for his kingdom for all eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.